policies continue to change surrounding Egypt, even as the debate in Egypt continues to change. The only thing that doesn't seem to be changing is the presence of the protesters in Tahrir Square in the center of Cairo. So how exactly should the Obama administration move forward in dealing with Egypt and whomever is leading Egypt? We have an expert opinion on that today. Is Ambassador Thomas Pickering, career ambassador, trustee of the National Committee for American Foreign Policy. Good morning, Ambassador.
Good morning.
You know, right now, what seems to be happening in Egypt, and it is a relatively dangerous territory, I would think, for the Obama administration, is you have Omar Suleiman, who was appointed by Mubarak to take over as vice president, negotiating with opposition groups. But they're negotiating a deal that protesters say they don't want. That seems to be dangerous for the Obama administration, simply because where exactly should you come down? If you come down in favor of this deal, you look as though you're opposing the protesters.
I'm not sure the protesters don't want it, but the protesters have a condition they'd like to see fulfilled. They want the immediate departure of Mubarak. Suleiman is trying to see whether, in fact, he can beguile enough of the opposition, so-called, into the room with him on the basis of far-reaching and sweeping changes to meet, in effect, what the protesters are in the street to get in addition to removing Mubarak. There will be, obviously, a period of time now to see whether, in fact, the protesters will be satisfied with the changes Suleiman has put on the table and satisfied that he's going to deliver them, or whether they will continue to insist that Mubarak will be gone. The indication now is that they're going to continue to stay in the square and insist that Mubarak will be gone. That opens the door as to whether some halfway house there is still possible. Over the weekend, people have suggested that. So far, the protesters don't seem to be biting on any halfway house. This is still a confrontation. It's still a difficult problem, and it raises a central question as to whether Egypt can move. I believe the U.S. is doing the right thing. The U.S. is encouraging forward movement as much as it can. It's obviously clear on the one hand that the U.S. knows and believes that Mubarak will have to go. The question is whether a slower timing, which was mooted over the weekend by many, is the real answer for the protesters, or whether their lack of trust, both in the military and Suleiman and in the whole past, is sufficiently strong that, in fact, they will use their capacity, which I think is still strong, to hold down any movement while they still continue to insist that Mubarak will go. I don't think there is an easy answer to this particular question. Some leaders have come forward with the protesters, including Mohamed El-Baradei, who this morning, or yesterday morning at least, is still continuing to stick with them on the essential condition of the removal of Mubarak.
Well, and it seems to me that there's a certain amount of disagreement among the White House and their staff on the very issue of whether Mubarak should stay or go. Let me play you a comment from Frank Wisner. He's the special envoy that the Obama administration sent to Egypt. Here he is speaking on Saturday.
The president must stay in office in order to steer those changes through. I therefore believe that President Mubarak's continued leadership is critical. It's his opportunity to write his own legacy.
And in coming back from that, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has backed away from those comments, and they've said that Frank Wisner was speaking only in his capacity as a private individual and not as a representative of the U.S. government. Is there, do you think, disagreement in Washington over whether or not Mubarak has to stay or go?
Well, obviously, the Secretary of State is speaking for the U.S. government on this particular issue. I think Ambassador Wisner is an old friend, and whose views I think are very important, need to be taken into account, was basically saying there is a continued advantage to keeping Mubarak in if he will deliver the changes. I don't know whether, in fact, the trust is there yet to assure that he will be able to deliver the changes, and that's a critically important question, will have to be worked out. Half or more of the opposition, so-called, is represented by either the Muslim Brotherhood or a number of small but not irrelevant parties who have been meeting with Suleiman. The other half, I guess one could say, is in the street. Do they have the leadership to move? This is a question that continues, obviously, to be very important to us. The U.S., in my view, is in a position where, on the one hand, it would obviously like to see change. The president's spoken about this, and so has the secretary. It needs to do so in a way, I believe, that can assure that change really will take place and become effective. It needs to take into account and consider the protesters' position. You are right, the administration has been strong and then maybe not so strong on the question of Mubarak and whether he should go and whether he is the key, in fact, to change. In the end, it is, in my view, probably the army who will have to decide whether, in fact, they can meet the needs of the protesters with Mount Mubarak's disappearance, or whether some fading out of Mubarak and turning the government over to Sulaim, as which has been proposed, is a better answer and will satisfy the protesters, or at least begin to satisfy the protesters that their conditions have been met. Up until this stage, it is not clear yet that the U.S. has finally decided in a clear way exactly what position it wants to take with respect to the protesters' demands and the removal of Mubarak. My personal guess is that so far, from what we see in the street, which is the major engine moving change, Mubarak will have to go in some form or another on some reasonable timescale in order to assure that, in fact, the changes that Sulaiman is offering and, indeed, the progress in the talks can move ahead.
Ambassador Pickering, though, why should anyone in Egypt trust the United States, which is so involved in the regime over the last 30 years, and the investments that we made in opposition groups in places like Iran and Iraq, which had no credibility whatsoever? We're curiously observing now almost no investment the U.S. has made in political openings to opposition groups in Egypt. We're very vulnerable.
Your question has a lot of facets to it. I would say, one, we are a player, but not the principal player. The principal player is the Egyptian people, the people in the streets, the people who represent the political factions, the people who want change. We are, in our efforts, trying to do a couple of things. One, continue to move change ahead. Two, trying to calm the situation so that, in fact, it does not erupt in violence and obviously destroy or at least set back the process that has been going on. And three, from the sidelines and quietly, working directly with Egyptian leaders, seeking to promote these objectives in whatever way we consider to be best. You're entirely right. We are not a mover and shaker in any traditional sense. And while your question seems to presume that at least people believe that, my own sense, I'm outside the government, sitting watching in, is that they have a very good perspective on this, know there are serious limitations in what they can do and are operating that way. They're operating quiet diplomacy and being very cautious in what they say in public, which I think is the right combination of approaches.
That's here. Ambassador Thomas Pickering, career ambassador, trustee of the National Committee for American Foreign Policy. Thank you so much, Ambassador.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.